This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A guy who, if you go and look at his own personal website, which is bynickshook.com, you will see a resume that is long, it's extensive, and it makes you think, man, this guy really hustled to get to where he was and where he is. Either that or he couldn't hold a job. I'm going to go with the first thing. He's just a kid from Akron. He's a former intern at 92.3 The Fan. Now big time at NFL.com. He's Nick Shook. Hello, Nick.
Oh, Nick,
hello.
I remember.
Hello, guys. That is hilarious. That is a great way to interpret that. And it also made me realize I should probably update that website. I haven't done that in a while. So
you got a lot of things on this thing, man.
Well, maybe volume or – yeah, like you said, it's not necessarily that I couldn't hold, but I was always looking for the next step, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Before we get into stuff with NFL.com and the Browns, you were an intern with us at 92.3 The Fan in 2013 for a few months. What did you take from your internship at 92.3 The Fan?
Oh, man, that is a great question.
Anything?
Well, I mean, being a native of the area, I knew that fans are passionate, but I also, come to learn that, the percentage of folks who do call into sports talk radio tend to be a little outlandish, but I did make some good friends, and I learned that, you're in the studio on a Saturday and a Sunday in the summer, and I was having a blast, being behind a microphone and occasionally butting in on whether it was Chico's show or whoever else I worked for at the time. It was a blast. And I learned to continue to strive for good things, I guess.
Very good.
Nick, I'm trying to remember. Was there a poobah lesson that holds true today? I can't believe there's any poobah lessons.
There was a was there
Pooh Bah, Andy Roth, the Pooh Bah. Did you learn anything from him?
No, I did not.
Good. All right, man.
All right,
you have totally. Not only were you already super friend of the show at this point, just because you've been a friend of the show, and I think I met you in college, but the fact that you've doubled down on the lack of knowledge that we get from the Pooh Bah, I don't know. If I have a new elevated status for you, you just hit it. Congratulations, Nick.
I mean, anything that's I can awesome. Do. I don't know. I've known you, Andy, since I was like 18. So, this is a great.
Is that? I was trying. Were you a freshman at Kent when I met you?
Yeah, I was way back in the day.
Man, oh, I'm so old. Oh my God, Jeff, ask a question before I retire.
Yeah, I'll move it along before Andy keels over and just in a dead faint here. Nick, we just heard Andrew Berry talking about what he did with the defense this year and how he felt he needed to make some serious commitment and how he did that at different levels of the defense. I was impressed with what he did this offseason. He had to do it, but I think he did it pretty well, at least on paper. What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I thought the biggest splash, first off, this Browns front office, I think we've learned, they make notable signings. They're not afraid to spend money where they think they need to. Like Jack Conklin last year answered the right tackle position. And John Johnson was that guy this year. But it was a surprise because you knew they needed safety help. You thought they might look for that in the draft. It wasn't the strongest at the position, but you knew they needed help there. For them to go and get John Johnson, who was one of the best safeties in this class of free agents, and to convince him to come to Cleveland and to take money that was as a lower total than what was being offered elsewhere was a huge win for them. And then I think they kind of just, the chips fell from there. They continued to make additions throughout the defense, getting Clowney was big. I know it was very drawn out, but I thought I was really impressed too by what he had said right after he signed, which was, you know, he changed agents and his new agent said, hey, why don't you go take a visit? And as soon as he took the visit, he was convinced, he was sold. And for a franchise that has so often been the opposite of that for the last 20 years, I thought that was incredibly impressive and shows how much of how far that the Browns have come in such a short time with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski in charge. And you know, then they went into the draft and did that whole thing. And, you know, they draft Greg Newsom in the first round, who ideally is a plug-and-play corner. You get Wusukoramoa in the second round and so on and so forth. I mean, suddenly – and then, again, it's on paper because you got to still figure out how the pieces fit. But suddenly, I mean, you can even go back to when they acquired Ronnie Harrison for basically nothing last year. They look like they have a very strong and very deep defense, which was their Achilles heel last year.
Nick, why is it okay to be excited about the Browns now when 2 years ago, when it was all hype, you know, we probably should have been like, hey, simmer down now, simmer down now. Why is it okay now to be all in and think this team can be one of the best teams in the NFL?
Well, the first thing I think is, you know, I'm a big proponent of making sure that you start from the inside out and you start with your offensive and defensive lines. And the Browns have a better offensive line this year, much better than they did that season. They also have a coach who's proven last year that they have he has the ability and he's equipped to lead a team through adversity that hadn't been seen by anybody in the modern age of professional sports at any level. And you know, managed to win 11 regular season games, go win a playoff game in the middle of a pandemic last year with a team that he didn't even really get to know except for remotely. So, I mean, I remember being at his introductory press conference in February, right? You know, we're about a month out from a pandemic that we didn't really know was coming at the time. And you know, there was, you know, kind of tempered optimism because of what had just had happened with the whole Freddie Kitchens. I don't know if I'd call it debacle, but disappointment. And I think Stefanski then blew the doors off of anything that we expected last year with the way that they played. And you then add the personnel that they have this offseason, because I think that was their biggest weakness, was losing Grant Delpit really before the season began and just not having quite the depth that you needed to be able to weather all the injuries on the defensive side of the football. Now that they've addressed that and they've thrown a lot of resources at that, and then you have the same coaching staff coming back, it's perfectly fine to be excited about them. Now, you do have to account for, you know, the annual playoff turnover. The extra playoff spot helps, of course. But if there's been a good time to be excited about the Browns in this town, it's now. There hasn't been a better time in the last 20 years.
Nick Shook joining us, NFL.com. Before we look at the offense, Nick, the defensive line had to have some additions made to it. You know, if you're not going to bring back Sheldon Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi, you better go get some tackles. They did. They brought in Malik Jackson. Andrew Billings is ready to go this year. Ed and Olivier Vernon's out. You bring in Clowney, who I think is really intriguing. We'll see what he can do in this situation, along with Tack McKinley. Is that enough on the defensive line, or do they need a little bit more still?
I think that the depth that they acquired via the draft the year prior, defensive tackle, might shine through. I was a big fan of Andrew Billings in Cincinnati before he joined the Browns, and, you know, obviously was disappointed when he opted out last year, but understand, you know, why. His biggest issue is just being able to stay completely healthy. When he's healthy, he's a little bit of a game wrecker. I'm also very bullish on Tack McKinley, and the reason I say that is his first two and a half years in Atlanta, he was a very effective pass rusher. He looked like the first-round pick that they had spent on him. And then he struggled with some injury issues, didn't get along with the coaching staff. Atlanta kind of took a downturn as a franchise at that time, and I don't think he handled that, you know, that adversity very well, which led to his eventual departure. So I think you give him, you know, the security of a place where he's like, look, this is a new opportunity. This is a team that demonstrated last year that it can win. I have time to get healthy. If you combine all of that, then suddenly you've got another player that you can plug on the edge and really cause problems. And that's behind Jadeveon Clowney, which, you know, we all salivate over the thought of how, you know, how well he could play opposite of Myles Garrett. You add in Tack McKinley to that. I think that they have a deeper group than they did last year. Now, I was disappointed to see guys like, you know, Sheldon Richardson and Larry Ogunjobi go. Just, you know, from the perspective of knowing what they've done with the Browns and having gotten to know them a little bit, you know, in the last couple of years, they were good locker room guys and they both worked very hard. So, you know, you have to replace that. But overall, again, and because it's June, we're still mostly talking about on paper. I think they're better equipped at the defensive line. And really the big question becomes a linebacking core. You know, what can you do from there? You know, they made additions in the offseason that I think will help, but they're somewhat unproven. You know, the Walker from Indianapolis, good linebacker, not necessarily a guy that is going to change how your linebacking core plays, but you should expect some improvements from some of the other guys, you know, Taki Taki, Mac Wilson, so on and so forth. And we'll see what you get out of a Owusu-Koramoah as well. And Jordan Phillips. So, you know, you kind of go down the list and you look at it's a 2-year body of work for Andrew Berry so far. And I think that they're going to be stronger front to back than they were a year ago, which considering they won 11 games, that should be pretty encouraging.
Hey, Nick, with 17 games this season, should we rewire our brains on what is a successful season based on wins?
Absolutely. Because I've had to force myself multiple times to realize that 500 doesn't exist unless you tie once and you go 8-8-1. Otherwise, you're 9-8 or 8-9. And so you have to think about the win totals. It's a slight adjustment, but 11 wins this year isn't as good as 11 wins last year. You know, 12 wins this year is essentially the equivalent. And you know how hard it is to win a game every year, win a game every week in the NFL. So, yeah, I think so. And I think it's going to take a while for all of us in the media to be like, hey, well, last year they finished 9-7. Or the best finish that year the Browns went to the playoffs before last was 9-7 in 2002. They finished 9-7 this year. They might have a chance. You know, now you got to go 10-7. And I think, you know, it's just going to take a while for us to adjust to.
Nick Shooks joining us from NFL.com. There's some decisions to be made on the offense in another year or so, Nick, and I wonder your thoughts on those decisions. Baker Mayfield extension, no-brainer, I would think. At what time does that happen? And what would you do with Nick Chubb with his contract coming up?
Well, that's tough because how do you value running backs? You know, you have Kareem Hunt secured for the next couple of years on a team-friendly deal. And they are very much a 1-2 punch, but I don't think Nick Chubb is reliant on the presence of Kareem Hunt. I think we learned that in his first professional season, first season and a half, really, before Kareem was eligible to play in 2019. Nick Chubb is a premier back. If you even look at the advanced metrics, you know, the next gen stats, which is something that I spend a lot of time working on at NFL.com. You know, he's consistently near the top in all of the significant metrics, whether it's basically we have a metric called rush yards over expectation, and it sets an expectation for how much a running back should gain on a carry and then takes what he actually gains and kind of, you know, takes the difference and combines it over an entire season. And Nick Chubb is consistently in the top 3 to 5 in the league every year. So no matter how well or how poorly his offensive line is playing, he's always doing, you know, more than it is expected of him. And in fact, he holds a single season record in that metric. And I don't know if it's ever going to be broken. It's like it's almost 2 yards a carry over expectation. So that's huge. I think Derrick Henry led the league 2 years ago at 1.05. So it's a big margin. So he's worth money if you look at it from that perspective. But if you also look at it from the perspective of, well, Todd Gurley got the big contract in Los Angeles and look where he is now, you know, he kind of flamed out. He had knee issues. Nick Chubb has had some knee issues. And you wonder about it from that, you know, from that angle. And do you pay a guy like that? I still say yes, because I think he's very important to your team. But you also have to think about an allocation of resources. And this, you know, this kind of takes me back to this discussion that was going on here for the last, I don't know, month or so related to Julio Jones and how, you know, fans would look at cap space and be like, the Browns have the cap space, why not go get him? Well, you need to have that cap space to roll into next year to be able to allocate those resources to pay Nick Chubb, to pay Baker Mayfield, to pay Denzel Ward, you know. And they have, by the way, if you want to bring up another decision, they're going to have a decision at receiver to make in about a year or two between Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., unless, you know, the increase in the cap is substantial enough that, you know, those salaries don't look as inflated as they are right now. So, you know, in a long way of answering that question, I think you do pay Nick Chubb, and I think you take the money that you save from cutting a guy like Sheldon Richardson this year, you roll it over and put that into his contract. But I do think you try to front load it and balance out between that and Baker Mayfield's contract. And if we've learned anything this offseason from these teams and the way they've kind of juggled their cap you know, requirements and restrictions with the lowered total salary cap, it's that there are a lot of ways to, you know, work between the lines and the fine print to make sure the guys sit under the cap. And that includes void years and converting salaries into bonuses and everything else and ways of kicking the can down the road. Luckily, the Browns haven't had to kick the can down the road because they've had cap space for so long. Now you trust Andrew Berry to properly manage it in the next couple of years, which are going to be crucial for the long-term success.
Nick, you comfortable with Odell Beckham coming back from injury and becoming what he was in New York at one point, or would you want to add another guy there to be safe?
I like the core that they have now. I don't know what our expectation for Odell should be. You know, having been at the Browns training camp in 2019 and watching him every day, not even knowing that he had already had, you know, a little bit of an injury that he was battling through, I was consistently amazed by just the athlete that he is. But I think that we often look back at that catch, and he'll even say this, we look back at that catch that he made, you know, in his first year in New York on Sunday Night Football, and expect that from him and everything else. And I think it just sets the bar a little too high for him. He can be, you know, an 11, 1200 yard receiver easy every year if he's healthy and catch, you know, 8 to maybe even 10 or 11 touchdown passes in a year. And that's the qualities of a number one receiver. But I don't quite expect him to be, you know, this world-changing superstar that he very quickly became, just because that's extremely difficult to achieve. And he, and right now he's coming off of, you know, like you said, that significant knee injury. But I do expect him to be back and be healthy and be able to contribute to the team in a big way. He was kind of on that path before he got hurt last season. I thought he finally started to make some strides as a Brown for the first time since coming to Cleveland as a part of Kevin Stefanski's offense. But beyond that, you know, I don't ever expect him to be, you know, nearing single season records, even if he talks about that. Now, if he does, then that'll prove me wrong, but I don't think it's fair to really expect him of that. And then you look at the rest of the receiving core, and, you know, you love what Jarvis Landry brings to the table. You love what he did last year and who he is, you know, in that locker room and as a worker and as a person in that locker room. And then you also have to kind of be excited about what they have beyond him. You know, Rashard Higgins, when he gets the opportunity, is very good at finding a way to fit in to his niche in the offense. I thought Donovan Peoples-Jones flashed some exciting stuff last year. You know, he's kind of a little bit of a freak athlete and made some key plays last year for them in the limited opportunities that he had. And I like this Schwartz kid out of Auburn. He's extremely fast, and as long as he works on, you know, ball security downfield, you know, he could be another weapon for them. And then suddenly you're looking at a receiving core that's pretty strong top to bottom.
Nick, congratulations on overcoming your time as an intern at 92.3 The Fan and going on to
good job,
better
Nick.
Things with NFL.com.
Nick, we look forward to working for you someday.
Oh, stop.
Only a matter of time.
I appreciate the lessons that I've learned from working at 92.3 and for you guys having me on and from Andy from back in the day when I was just getting started at Ken as well. You know, it's all very valuable experience, and I appreciate it. But thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you, Nick.
Yeah. We're not buying any of that. Thanks, Nick.
See you guys.
Nick Shook, NFL.com. Just a kid from Akron joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.